Now, new CD out on the ABC Classics label, which I've been enjoying inordinately, actually. It's Simon Tedeschi. The CD is called Gershwin and Me. And before we talk to Simon about Gershwin and him, we're going to have actually a very good sample of it, because this is a famous Gershwin tune, I Loves You, Porgy, given the Simon Tedeschi treatment. Beautiful. Thank you very much indeed, Simon Tedeschi.
Lovely to see you again.
Nice to see you too. And congratulations on the CD.
Thank you.
You've had quite a long standing attachment to the music of Gershwin, haven't you? I think I probably associate you with Gershwin more than any other composer.
Yeah, in many ways. And of course, I'm as passionate, if not more passionate, about Beethoven and Brahms, but Gershwin has, for some reason, has become the musical accompaniment to my life and career, and part of that is osmosis, and part of that is because, yeah, I get to meet many people at once with him.
Right. Okay. How come?
Well, Gershwin is, I mean, he's been accused, perhaps somewhat unfairly, of being bitty sometimes with Rhapsody in Blue, for instance, but at the same time, I get, you know, there's the Russian Jewish sound, and then of course there's the African American sound and the Cuban sound and the Brazilian sound, and then there's that sort of intangible thing called the New York American sound, and I get to be all of those, so I can be as scattered as I want.
Yes, where would you say is the the real heart of Gershwin's music?
Well, again, that's a very difficult one because he changes so often for me anyway. I mean, he himself described Rhapsody in Blue as metropolitan madness. Mm. And so I guess that's why, I mean, I almost think of Taxi Driver, the movie with Robert De Niro. I mean, of course, there's a lot of difference there. But,
yes.
But the heart of it, I think, of course, is how he appropriated in his own way the blues language.
Yes.
And that's extraordinary for me. And I was just looking now when I was, you know, before playing it, I was reminded of the lyrics of this song I just played, and they're just so heartbreaking. They're just so heartbreaking, and it's embedded with this history and pathos of, you know, hundreds of years.
Yes. So. This, of course, I Love You Porgy is obviously from the opera Porgy and Bess, but the songs of Gershwin are astonishing, aren't they? I mean, you're right that a piece like Rhapsody in Blue has been criticised, and it's not totally unfair for not being the most cogent piece of music, full of great tunes, but you know, doesn't quite hang together. But the songs are almost perfect.
They are. They're stunning. They're like Schubert Lieder. And I mean, I was asked recently an impossible question, which is, where would Gershwin have gone had he not died so young? And of course, you would know that it's impossible to ask. I mean, where would Mozart have gone after the Requiem?
Yes, that's right.
It's very difficult. Who knows? He may have been influenced by atonality or bebop or whatever came after.
Well, he kept trying to get lessons from Arnold Schoenberg, didn't he? He had to settle for playing tennis with him.
Yeah. That's a good one.
And he was a big fan of Berg as well. I think he asked Alban Berg for lessons.
I did not know that, Andy.
He was at the American premiere of Wozzeck.
You're kidding.
Gershwin was, and Elliot Carter told me he was sitting in the seat behind Gershwin.
Wow.
So
we should call this CD Gershwin and Us.
What have you, your approach to this CD? I mean, because there's quite a lot of you on the CD, actually. I mean, it's not as odd a title as it may seem. I mean, we've just heard your arrangement of I Love You Porgy. What did you bring to that song?
Well, I was trying to get that heartbreaking, almost bordering on indulgent feel. I've been, you know, like every other musician in the world, influenced by the sound of Keith Jarrett and also Herbie Hancock, and there's something so beautiful about those open chords. And I was trying in my own way to get that sort of sound with those particular voicings. As to whether I succeeded, I mean, that's for listeners to tell me.
Yeah.
But I think that song is just so perfect in its construction, and it's a universe unto itself.
Mm. Is it fair to suggest that you're in the world of jazz when you play that?
Yes, more than the world of classical. I suppose in many ways that's why this record is self-indulgent for me, because I get to be who I am when I want. The ABC gave me a lot of freedom. So I was Simon Tedeschi playing Gershwin, and then I was Simon Tedeschi playing Granger playing Gershwin, and then Simon Tedeschi playing Gershwin playing Tedeschi. So it was all very confusing. I suppose you could say it's a record with multiple personality disorder.
Yes. So we've actually got a Keith Jarrett take on Someone to Watch Over Me. When it says arrange Jarrett, that's not quite right, is it?
It is actually.
Written down?
Yes. Well, I transcribed it.
Yes.
It was, I believe, and the jazz people could tell me, from a live in Tokyo.
Right, yes, yes.
But, yeah, I did transcribe it to the best of my ability.
I see.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's his improvisation.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And same with Dave Grusin.
Yes.
I thought that these guys, they're such... they're such masters of their own unique language that, I mean, I couldn't do anything to them. So, and then I decided with a few of the other tracks to go pure Gershwin, the original arrangements for piano roll, actually. And, that, you know, some of them are a minute each, but I thought that they go right to the heart of it.
When you hear Gershwin play his own music, either on piano roll, or there are some electronic recordings of him, he plays them with such life, doesn't he? I mean, there's such a swagger and such a... I mean, these are not jazz pieces, but he plays them almost as though they are.
Yeah, what a pianist. I mean, it's it's sort of almost cool nowadays to say, oh, I love the Gershwin originals, but I have always loved them because he's so idiosyncratic. That's an irritating and very overused word, but he truly is. His playing is very rhythmically unusual, and his sense of voicing is very unusual. But I love it. I mean, it's a character in the same way that Rachmaninoff playing Rachmaninoff is just so uniquely him, and it's very sobering in a way to hear, you know, this is how it should be played. I love
Yes. And also Granger. I must say that when I was at the Granger Museum and they put on one of the piano rolls, and suddenly I was standing there, and it was Country Gardens, I think, and I saw the notes going up and down. And it was being played with such spirit. And I was quite overcome. You know, I felt as though he was there in a sort of stupid way. But you've chosen Granger arrangements, which are quite extraordinary, aren't they? Love Walked In and The Man I Love. He really brings something very distinctive to Gershwin.
He certainly
does,
and to be honest, they're my favourite tracks because I thought it would... I mean, that's globalisation for you. You've got Gershwin, who in a sense was an ethnomusicologist, being arranged by a pure ethnomusicologist, being played by an Australian concert pianist in 2012. I mean, and Granger really... truly, as you said, brings his own language to it. And
he milks them.
He he's pure. You know how people use that word sentimentality?
Yeah.
He's so sentimental and unashamedly so.
Yes, but almost, he almost transcends it, doesn't he? Because it's so over the top.
Exactly. And like Gershwin, he's a very unusual man with a, in many ways, very progressive view of things that would have been considered taboo and to a degree still are. And I admire him as one of the great pianists of the 20th century in the golden age, but what a composer.
Yes.
What an arranger.
Yes. Yes, and it's so interesting that he had this enthusiasm for Gershwin, I think.
I know, in the same way that he was channeling ragtime at a time when a lot of pianists like Joseph Hoffman were calling it, I believe, devil's music or something like that. And here was Granger, you know, with his whips and his machines, and he was obviously channeling ragtime in a lot of his original compositions, and I think, gee, that is really something for an Aussie guy back at that time.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about your approach to playing Gershwin's music. I mean, you're going to do a couple of the preludes. Now, this is notated music by Gershwin. How free... I mean, I think at the beginning of the first one, from memory, it says con licenza, with license, with freedom. But that's in a way less helpful than it seems, isn't it? Because he doesn't tell you how much freedom or where to put it.
And I tell you, a few reviewers have given me demerit points with my interpretations of them. But I believe it says allegro ritmico also. And these preludes are in many ways more South American, or the first and third anyway, and they're a direct channeling, a direct reference to indigenous dances of Brazil. I believe the first one is a Brazilian dance. The third one is a Spanish dance.
Is it? I thought the third one was a cakewalk. But
I don't think so, but I stand to be corrected.
Well, we'll find out when you play it. But what is your approach then to these pieces? I mean, do you try to play them straight, or if you pull them around, how much can you pull them around?
I do pull them around, but I'm also very conscious of the syncopation, and I believe I play them with an aggression, a pragmatic aggression that I believe Gershwin played them with.
Right. Okay. Well, I think we ought to hear them. Pragmatic aggression and all.
Yeah. Live radio, no pressure.
No pressure, no. So you're going to do one and then you're going to do three.
Straight into one and three.
Which may or may not be a cakewalk.
Okay.
Simon Tedeschi, live on today's music show, playing the music of George Gershwin, piano preludes numbers 1 and 3. Thank you. Well, it's pretty close to a cakewalk, but I don't think it is quite. I think you're right. I think those syncopations sort of undermine
it. Fast cakewalk.
A fast cakewalk, yeah. Thanks very much indeed,
you,
Simon Tedeschi, for coming on today's music
Absolutely.
Show. The CD is called Gershwin and Me, and it's on ABC Classics.